Now let us open up our Bibles in Isaiah. Some will call the Gospel of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 55 verses 1 and 2. Thus says the Word of God. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Let us pray one more time for illumination. Dear God, we ask now that your Holy Spirit might bring forth this word to the hearts of your people here. We ask that your gospel may be preached faithfully and be received faithfully, O Lord, that we might come to you for those who do not come to you, and for those who already are Christians, that we might reflect upon this word to be more assured of your gospel, or to think whether we already come to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. For those who don't know my background, I was born and raised in Brazil. And life back there is tough. It is hard to find a good job, a decent job. And once you get a decent job, a good job, it is hard to make money out of it. And also, it's hard to buy good and durable things. Almost everything is too expensive, especially in comparison to other countries like America. So much so that usually we pay for things for installments. It's installments. It's very common, even for small things. Now, can you imagine a salesman in a marketplace in Brazil, selling valuable products, products in excellent condition for no price? You just stop by, look for what you want, pick it up, and then you just go without having to pay for anything. What would you think about it? I don't know about you, but I would doubt it. I would presume that it could be a kind of scheme or a way to cheat on people. And why is that? Because people don't just give things freely to others. And that is not only true in Brazil, it's also true in any other place in the world. If a salesman, if a businessman had work on something and he's selling something, he will charge you for it. He spent his time, he spent his money, his energy in this project, so that could he or she could have profit from it. So if a person works so hard at something and is giving it freely to others, either this product has no value at all, or there's some kind of scheme or something wrong that eventually will benefit the salesman to the detriment of the customer. In this text, we are dealing with a similar situation, a marketplace setting. Someone is offering something. Someone is calling others to come and buy, but freely, without money, without price. It is so good to be true. However, there's no trick here. There's no deceit. There's no scheme. There's only a sincere and earnest calling for sinners to truly buy salvation without money and without price. What we have here is God Himself pleading with every sinner to be reconciled with Him. To come and buy salvation with no price for their spiritual satisfaction. The theme of this text, this sermon, will be the free offer of the gospel. And I want us to consider this doctrine under three main points. First, a universal gospel. Second, a gracious gospel. And third, a satisfying gospel. universal, gracious, and satisfying. So first, the universal gospel. Chapter 55 comes after the famous servant songs of the book of Isaiah that we find in chapters 42, 49, 50, 52, and 53. Those chapters deal with the servant of the Lord, Jesus Christ himself, describing his mission, his office, his offices, his work, and his sufferings, and among other things. So by the end of chapter 53, we have redemption accomplished and applied to God's people through the servant's death. Then in chapter 54, although not a servant song, it is a vivid picture of the glorious future of the people of God, the people of Israel, through this redemption accomplished and applied by this suffering servant. And now in chapter 5, we have this invitation extended to all people, to all those who are in need, to all those who do not have hope. Here we have a universal calling to a universal gospel. And verse 1 reads, "Ho, everyone." And this "ho" is an interjection. It is a messenger calling our attention to the content of the message that will follow. As if he were saying, "Now listen carefully. Pay close attention to what I'm about to say." And then he says, "Everyone, ho, everyone." This message, this gospel, is for everyone. For all men, in all times, in all situations, in all sinful circumstances. It's an invitation for all to come. This gospel call is for men and women, as well as for children. This message is for rich and poor, Jews and Gentiles, Americans and Brazilians, scholars and farmers, kings and slaves. This is a universal calling. Come, all ye sinners. And why is that? Why is this gospel offered so broadly? The reason is simple enough. You just need to look at yourself. Look at your own hearts. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's why this offer is so broad. Because there's none who does good, not even one. The message is universal because we have all turned aside. We have altogether become corrupt, both because of Adam's sins and because of our own sins. The message of the gospel is universal not because everyone will be saved in the end, because this is heresy. But the message of the gospel is universal because it is addressed to all humanity. And all humanity is dead in trespasses and sins. The natural man, the man without Jesus Christ, is empty and hopeless. And our text is even in points in that very direction. It defines those everyone. Notice that the offering here does not only say, "Ho, everyone," but it says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts. Ho, everyone who have no money." That is the condition of every single man and woman without Jesus. Thirsty. Without water and without money to provide the basics for a spiritual survival, for a spiritual life. The condition of every man from birth is helpless. The natural man, the man without Christ, has an eternal need in his heart. That's why he's thirsty. He's thirsty for salvation. He's thirsty for forgiveness. He has this great need for Christ, for reconciliation with God. However, we cannot provide for ourselves. That's why the text also says that we are without money. We cannot do anything to change this reality, the reality of our souls. We don't have the means to buy our own salvation with our own strength. That's why we are needy and poor and without money. But God knows all of this about us. And that's why he calls us. That's why he calls you and says, "Come, come all of you. Come poor and needy sinners. Come whomever you are. This is a universal calling. The gospel call is for all who are thirsty and poor. But what does it mean to come? What does it mean to come to the waters? We hear a lot of come to Jesus or come to me. We cannot physically go or come to Jesus since he's now in heaven, seated at the right hand of God the Father. So what does it mean to come to Christ? And children, you have to pay attention to this because you have also a need to come to Jesus. So how do you do that? How do you come to Jesus? And what does it mean to come to Jesus? To come to Jesus means to have faith in him. As simple as that. To come to Jesus means to go to him in faith and to have him as your only Lord and Savior. It's very simple. You just need to believe in him. To have faith in him and to have him as your Savior, as your only God. And when this happens, when we believe in him, we are transformed by him and begin to live a life for his glory and gratitude. We live a life for his will, for his kingdom, and for his gospel. And Isaiah deals with this in verses 6, 7, and 8 when he called people to repentance. It's a both way. You have faith, and this causes repentance. Faith and repentance go together. Dear friend, have you ever come to Christ? This calling is universal. But why does this calling here in Isaiah also says to come to the waters? The prophet here uses an illustration. To go to the waters is to go to a place of refreshment, to a place where you can quench your thirst. It's a place of comfort and rest and satisfaction. Imagine yourself in the heat of the summer, after playing outside or playing any other sport or something like this. Where do you go afterwards? Or even during the time you're playing? You go to the waters, right? To quench your thirst, to be refreshed, to have rest and even satisfaction in the cold water. Dear church family, to come to the waters means to come to Jesus. He is the great fountain that flows life, abundant and eternal life. As it is written in John 7:37, Jesus said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." To come to the waters is to come to Jesus, the great and endless fountain of living waters. Jesus gives life. He gives eternal life, abundant life to all those who come to him by faith. This universal gospel calls you to drink from this water without money and without price. Now we come to our second point, a gracious gospel. The way this gracious gospel is presented here is by a paradox. And a paradox is a semi-contradiction. It's when you have two ideas, two concepts, they apparently are opposite to each other. And where is the paradox in this passage? Still in verse 1, the end of verse 1, which says, "Come, buy, and eat." Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. How can anyone buy anything without money? If someone is selling a product, the only way to purchase it is by spending your money. If you don't have money, so you can't buy it. So how can anyone buy without money and without price or without cost? And here is where we find the grace of this gospel, that we can buy and eat without money and without price. Dear brothers and sisters, the gift of salvation is free. It's totally free. That is why the gospel call is a gracious calling. Because you don't have to do anything to obtain it except to come. You don't have to do anything to obtain it except to eat and drink and buy without money and without price. It is free. I remember the first time I went to a food pantry in Grand Rapids. The food pantry is a distribution center that provides free food and sometimes clothes and other supplies to low-income families in a certain community. So when my family and I arrived here in America 1.5 years ago, we heard about it, and we signed up for some of those food pantries. And the first time I went there, I was completely shocked because there was plenty of food. There was meat, there was fresh fruits, fresh vegetables. I could find almost everything that I needed and even more. Not just the basics for life, but even superfluous things as chocolate, bacon, soda, donuts, and everything, candy. It was unbelievable. It was all free. I didn't even know how to get those things. Should I check the barcode in somewhere or sign a sheet of paper? Maybe. And even after I was gone, I remember thinking that maybe someone would come to me suddenly and ask for and charge me for what I took, because it was so good to be true. But all that I needed to do was just to go there, pick up the food, and then simply leave. No cash to give, no debit card, no credit card, no voucher, no barcoding, nothing. It was completely free. Dear church family, can you see the parallel of the gospel of Jesus Christ? This is a beautiful image of this gracious and free gospel of Jesus Christ. That is, that salvation is free, and it's free for everyone. You just need to come and to buy without money and without price. You don't have to have anything in order to come. There are no requirements in this gospel. Actually, the only requirement is being poor and needy, which is the condition of every single human being, whether he admitted it or not. Dear friend, don't you think that you need to be something or to have something in order to receive salvation? Don't think that you must achieve something in order to be right before God or to be acceptable before His eyes. The gospel calls you to come as you are, poor, broken, disabled, exhausted, naked, weak, sinful, with nothing to offer. That's how you come, with empty hands. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Some of you might struggle with this, maybe because of your past or even because of your present situation. And I can relate to that because I know myself, and I know that how hard it is to feel the sinfulness of our sin, our dirty, our guilty. But this is not an excuse not to come to Christ. Some of you may say, "Oh, but I am such a sinner. How would a perfect and righteous God accept me? The gospel is only for those who are godly, or only for those who grew up in church, or the gospel is only for those who never had this, or that experience in the world." If you're thinking like this, you're totally wrong. The very fact that you were one of those people who delighted in the world, who do very bad things and immoral things, makes you a right and a good candidate to be a target of God's grace. Because you are a sinner, that you need grace. We need to come to Christ without our merits, without our righteousness. So you might ask me again, but how could that be? How can I have salvation without paying anything? How is that possible? To be saved without any cost? I need to achieve something first. I need to do something first. I need to have an experience first, or I cannot approach a holy God with an unclean heart, you might think. And dear friend, the gospel calling is gracious. It's gracious and it's free for everyone because someone paid a high price to merit this salvation. Think about the illustration of the food pantry again. That food that they give away there does not happen to be there as if it's by magic. Many people had to work hard to make this possible. Many people work voluntarily to make this happen. And it is the same with salvation. The gospel of Jesus is free for us because it has cost a high price for someone else. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took upon himself the form of a servant to die our death and to obey the law perfectly in our place. Those were the two important aspects of our salvation that needed to be accomplished: death because of sin and perfect obedience. Because of the fall of Adam and Eve, every single human being is born in sin and therefore condemned. And we keep adding and piling up condemnation with our own sins. But the wages of sin is death. Therefore, the soul that sins must die. There's no such a thing as unpunished sin. Every single sin ever committed will be condemned and punished. But the God-man, Jesus Christ, took upon himself the condemnation due to us. The death that he suffered on the cross, a shameful death, a painful death, was the satisfaction for all the sins of those who come to him. But Jesus' redemptive work, his voluntary work, also had another aspect: his obedience. In order for anyone to deserve and merit eternal life by themselves, by himself, this one must also live a perfect life of obedience from his very first day until his very last breath. Living every single tick of the clock wholeheartedly devoted to God and with perfect obedience in every single aspect. Loving God with all his mind, soul, and strength. Loving his neighbor as himself with no flaw, with no lapse, with no shortcomings at all. Salvation had a price. And the price was paid by the blood of the Lamb. The price was death plus a life of perfect righteousness. Salvation had a price. But the only one who could pay it all was Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He satisfied God's justice. And now with his merit, with his victory, with his achievement, with his holiness, that we can have life. Abundant and eternal life. This does not come from ourselves, from our works. He paid for salvation, and now he offers it freely. There's nothing more that we can do. Jesus did it all. It is done. It is finished. It is accomplished. You just need to come and buy without money and without price. Dear friend, don't you dare to come to Jesus with your hands full of your own righteousness. Because there's nothing in you that will satisfy God. There's nothing that you can bring to him that will please him. If you go to Jesus with your hands full of self-righteousness, God will certainly reject you. If you go to him trusting in yourself, if you go to him trusting in your own works and your own power, he will reject you. Because if you do this, you are saying that you don't need Christ for salvation. You are saying that Christ is worthless. That you are sufficient. And you are saying that Jesus is ineffective. And that his death on the cross is meaningless. Dear friend, your best works, your best good works, your best intentions will never be enough for salvation. Never. Only Christ's righteousness is enough for salvation. So you better cling to Him, to His work, to His righteousness, to His holiness. Otherwise, you will not be able to stand before God on the last day. But this gospel is not only universal and gracious, it is also satisfying. And now we come to our third and last point. Satisfying gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only thing in the whole world that can satisfy our souls. The glorious promises of God and the marvelous benefits of redemption are the only joys in life that fulfill our souls and give reason to our existence. That's why the text uses the words bread, water, milk, wine. Bread and water gives us the idea of something extremely necessary. Those are the basics for subsistence and livelihood. We cannot live without it. And milk is a reference to our nourishment, to our healthy growth. So, dear church family, what are the things that you consider basics for your existence? We know from the Bible that God is the right answer. He is your basic and primary need in life and for life. But I don't want you to think about the right answer, but I want you to think about the true answer. What is true in your life today? What are your basic needs? What are the things that you cannot live without? Is that your family? Or your job? Is that your honor or your name? Is that your career? Your plans? Your retirement? Dear friend, what are the essentials for your life? Again, I don't want you to think about the right answer. I want you to think the true answer. I want you to be honest with yourself, for you to search your heart. And if you can't think about anything, I can't help you with this. Because I admit that sometimes it can be subtle. Not everyone says objectively in their minds, my house is everything for me or my wife is everything for me. But we show this in our attitudes, in our daily lives. So how often do you think about it? And you can fill the blank here. What makes you not sleep during the night because of it? What consumes your heart and mind during the day? What makes you anxious if you can't get it? What makes your life miserable if it was lacking to you? Is it comfort? Is it your cell phone, your farm, your entertainment, your parents, your siblings, your marriage? Dear congregation, do not let your hearts be troubled by perishable things. You don't need any of those things. Just one thing is needful. It is the kingdom of God, the gospel of Jesus. That's all you need. This is the basic necessity for your life, of life. And not only the basic thing, but also it is everything. He, Jesus Christ, is everything that you need. So come, eat and drink and be satisfied. The great need of your soul is the gospel of Jesus. You also have in the text the image of wine. Many times in the Bible, wine is a reference or a synonym for joy. Not sinful joy, but a true joy. An image for delight and pleasure and satisfaction. So the gospel does not only fulfill our basic needs, but also gives us joy. Real joy, eternal joy, imperishable satisfaction, not only in the life to come, but also in this very life, in this life of trouble, in a sinful world, in a fallen reality, we can find true satisfaction in God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is an indescribable joy. It is something that surpasses all understanding. To have all your sins forgiven. To have a good conscience before God. Not because of what you have done, but because of what Christ has done on the cross. To have a relationship with the triune God, resting in His providence, trusting in Him alone for salvation and for life, pouring out yourself in prayers with your family, with yourself in your closet, knowing that He's there with you and He's hearing you and bearing witness with your spirit that you are His child. There's nothing else so satisfying on earth. Your congregation, I'm going to ask you this again. What are your joys in this life? Are your joys in the things of this world or in the heavenly things? Why are you spending your money or your thoughts or your energy or your time on things that does not satisfy you? Why are you running after things that don't give you life? Why are you laboring for things that in a moment will be gone forever? You fool, your soul will be required of you. Then whose will be those things which you have provided? Luke 12:20. Nothing can satisfy your soul like Jesus. Neither silver nor gold, nor friends, nor family, nor power, and all the things in this world cannot be compared to Jesus. To give our backs to Jesus and go to the world is like exchanging fresh water for seawater. Have you ever had this experience to drink seawater, water from the ocean, from the beach? The water of the sea is salty, it's highly salty. So if you drink it, instead of quenching your thirst, you will be more and more thirsty. And eventually, you will die of dehydration. What a paradox, isn't it? The more you drink seawater, the thirstier you will be, and the faster you will die. This is our situation without Jesus Christ. The more we try to fill ourselves with anything other than Him, the more we will be thirsty. And the more we will be unsatisfied until we die without salvation. Dear brothers and sisters, the pleasures of this world cannot satisfy you. They are like seawater. The more you drink, the thirstier you will be. You can try to satisfy your heart with anything in this world. It will never be enough. Does that ever happen to you? You wanted something so much and you thought that this could make you happy and satisfied. But when you get this, it is like emptiness. And then you try to pursue another thing. Oh, if I get this job, I will be satisfied. And then you get there and nothing happens. Oh, if I get married, I will be satisfied. And disappointments. Oh, if I get this much money in my bank account, I will be satisfied. If I get those medicines to make me feel good, I will be satisfied. And then emptiness again, emptiness and emptiness and emptiness. And you can go after anything in this world. It will never be enough. You'll never satisfy your eternal soul, your eternal needs with things of this world. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? Dear church family, do not use your money. Do not use your time. Do not use your strength to go after your idols, to go after sea waters. Do not use your energy to go after things that are not bread and wine. The only thing that these idols can do is send you deeper into hell where you will be thirsty forever. Dear congregation, there is no comparison between what Christ can give you freely and what you can afford with your own works. There's no comparison between what Christ can give you freely and what the world can give you. It is like Proverbs 9, we have a beautiful picture of two banquets, one of Lady Wisdom and the other of Lady Folly. With Lady Wisdom, we have a beautiful table set with fresh meat, bread, delicious mixture of wine. And on the other hand, in Lady Folly's banquet, we have stolen waters. In the former, you find true delight. But in the latter, you will find the depths of hell, the text says. But before I close, I want to say some words for my Christian friends here, those who have already come to Jesus. And if all of this I just mentioned is a reality in your soul, if you have already accepted this universal calling, this gracious calling, what are the implications for your life? If you are really satisfied by this gospel, why are you keeping it for yourself? This good news needs to be spread. And let me ask you this question. When was the last time that you shared the gospel with an unbeliever? When was the last time that you intentionally looked for opportunities to share the gospel with weary and unsatisfied souls? When was the last time that you had your unbeliever neighbor over for dinner to share the gospel with them? If the gospel fills your hearts, it should overflow. We should be more intentional in our evangelizing others or unbelievers. And we need wisdom from God for this. Sometimes it's hard and we fail. But do not keep this pressure treasure for yourself. But use it to guide the unbelievers to the fountain of waters that you are drinking of, if indeed you are drinking from it. Dear congregation, the gospel of Jesus Christ is being freely offered to you. And there is no trick in this offer. It is free. You are invited to come as you are. You are invited to eat and to drink. You are invited to buy without money. There will be no charges because Jesus paid it all on the cross of Calvary. And it is done. Salvation was already accomplished. Jesus Christ Himself, the perfect and spotless Lamb of God, paid for salvation with His own blood, with His own work, with the labor of His own hands. And in the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ made Himself accursed for our sake. He made Himself thirsty for our sake. And this is one of His last words on the cross. We read in John 19:28, He said, "I thirst." The same Jesus that said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink, now was hanging on a cross of Calvary and said, "I thirst." The great fountain of water was dry to give you the living waters. Jesus was thirsty so that you and I could be satisfied with fresh water, so that you and I would never be thirsty again. And because He conquered death and rose up again, that He has the authority to call everyone to partake of this blessing. He's calling you this evening to come to Him. He's calling you this evening to have faith in Him alone for salvation. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come and buy. Take whatever you need. It is all yours. Don't run after the things of this world. Don't run after the things that make you more and more thirsty. But come to Jesus Christ, the living waters, and drink from this well of water springing up into everlasting life." Amen. Let us pray one more time. Dear God, we thank You for this marvelous gospel that we can access Your throne of grace, that anyone can have access to You if they believe and repent. We ask that You might open up the eyes of those here that do not trust in You alone for salvation yet, especially the children, that You cleanse their hearts, that You transform their hearts, and bring them to salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.